Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We get a very rare 2 weeks off. You get week one for Easter and week two for the wrestling holiday known as WrestleMania, so there is no UFC this weekend.
I thought this weekend was the Sunday afternoon thing.
Is that the Sunday afternoon thing?
Oh, I don't know. I trust you more than I trust
the next
me
thing I have things. is March 10th or April 10th.
April 10th.
Not
That's
March.
Next week, right?
Yes, that will
okay,
be next week.
Right,
maybe that is Sunday afternoon. Hold
Should
on.
We have more breaks, though, in between these events?
I
feel like John Jones is not doing well when he's not required to make presser or media appearances.
I prefer the extra breaks just because I think it makes it so that you can enjoy the events a little bit more than when they stack them on top of one another. When you have weekends where you've got one on Saturday and one on Sunday, then the next one is on Friday and the next one's on Saturday. I like having a week or two off. Especially since you have a week where we don't need a fight because we've got all of this insanity that is...
Well, it's not like they... not that you couldn't plan for John Jones imploding, but it's not like they planned for John Jones imploding this week. And, hey, we might need to leave a little bit of room in the media schedule here.
Yeah, it's April 10th. I was told.
Oh, yeah, you were right.
You threw me off.
I'm sorry.
Fight Night 86 will be next
I
week.
I just thought because they were doing it at a reasonable time for once that maybe they were trying to do it before WrestleMania.
They sure as hell aren't going to do it the hour before WrestleMania.
No, it's like 2 o'clock. Or would that
doesn't
be prelims?
Doesn't WrestleMania start at 2 o'clock?
5 o'clock. Okay. The pre-show begins.
Gotcha.
If those of you that are interested in that kind of stuff are interested.
Okay. So, which is funny, if you are on Twitter this weekend, you will find out that everybody is actually interested
Everybody hates it, and then they're all on Twitter about
it. Everyone hates it till they see Shane McMahon jumping on The Undertaker, and they're like, here is my money.
Right.
I am watching this.
Don't forget, this is the only place you can now see Brock Lesnar, former UFC heavyweight champion, perform. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about John Jones.
I would rather just do this.
Going
crazy? For an hour.
I don't mind talking about John Jones going crazy. Maybe he'll be at WrestleMania. He might need a backup gig.
So this is what happened. And if you've not seen the body cam footage, you can check that out. There are a lot of, to me, Ken, there are a lot of tentacles to this story.
Do we have the audio from that?
I can get it. I'll put it up here.
Okay.
Let's start with that. I'll play it right here.
Driver's license, registration, and insurance, please.
I did not drag race a Cadillac. Man, you're just harassing me, man.
I'm just asking you a simple question, Jonathan.
My car is low because it's a sports car. I just simply revved my engine.
You took off at a high rate of speed, sir.
No, I did not.
Only you kept going. He slowed down.
No, I did not.
Okay.
You are an absolute f***ing liar.
Well, we can talk about it in court. I need you to sign inside this box.
How do you sleep with yourself?
Mostly on my left side, sometimes on my back.
Harassing me like this. I can't wait till you get out of my face. You're despicable.
I feel the same way about you, sir.
Pig. Disgust me.
Once again, feelings mutual.
Okay, so you get a sense of what's going on. There's a couple things to understand here. And one is, look, John Jones does everything he possibly can to get in his own way. Like, he literally cannot.
How many times have we talked about this on the show?
I mean, a lot. And you know, when you look at it, it's drag racing or pseudo drag racing. And in Albuquerque, revving your engine counts as like the gateway drug to drag racing. So it is technically illegal, right? In a probation violation.
I don't know. Just maybe don't be a jackass in general when you're on probation. I don't know what he was or wasn't doing. I don't really care at this point. Just calm down. And then when you get pulled over by the cop, don't say what you just said. That's not what happens.
I don't disagree with you. The only thing I would say to you that I find interesting about this case in particular is that they don't release the body cam footage of the event. They release the body cam footage of John Jones looking like an a-hole.
Well, I mean, if it's a body cam, you're not going to be able to tell what's going on with the event as it is. And if you want to see that, that's fine. I'm all for releasing the footage. I guess all I need to see, and maybe this is just my confirmation bias, is that John Jones is an a-hole, and he acted like a giant a-hole, and he forgot he wasn't on Twitter where he could delete being an a-hole 3 minutes later.
Although in Albuquerque, the police there are very good at deleting body cam footage because the federal government investigated them.
I'm with you on all of that.
So they're not on the up and up from the get-go, the organization as a whole, which makes this really interesting. And you can get into a whole bunch of conversations about profiling or whatever you want to get into on your own time. For this particular podcast, though, what I would tend to focus on is what Ken is talking about. You have to be smarter. And if there are people surrounding John Jones that are telling him it is okay for him to drive, you're an idiot.
And the first question right there, why does he not have a full-time driver at this point?
Well, I mean, the first question I think we should start with, Ken, is if you and I got drunk and ran into a telephone pole in New York City, and then we decided to, whatever happened to us, we ran into a pregnant woman and broke her arm and then ran from the scene. And then whatever else you want to put on top of that, and then got busted for drag racing. Mm-hmm. Neither one of us gets to show up for this podcast because we're still in jail.
Right. So I don't know. What do you do in that instance? You go get a driver because you're a multimillionaire.
You absolutely go get a driver.
And
but this is, you know,
Let's say, okay, you need to go get milk. I don't know what John Jones was doing. Let's pretend you need to get milk. Does body good.
It does.
So you got to go get milk. Okay, I'm going to drive and get milk. Okay, did you rev your engine? Did you not rev your engine? I don't care. I don't give a crap. You got pulled over. What you don't do is what we just heard and freak out on a cop. Relax. You know you're on probation. You're a high-profile celebrity. You need to just relax. And this is the problem. You've got these dudes that are the baddest dudes on the planet, literally, fighting in the UFC. And you've got to wonder, some of these guys can handle it. Some of these guys can't. I'm thinking John Jones is a guy who can't. The dude's got to get coked up to party. The guy's got to go and scream at a cop when he gets pulled over unjustly. Let's say he did get pulled over unjustly. Sit there, take your ticket, and go home. It's not going to be a probation violation unless it's a bigger deal. Now, again, I know you know more about the charges and what was going on there, but I really don't think whatever you think is happening around you, your reaction there helps the situation.
Well, it's certainly, you know, when you just talked about confirmation bias, right? So if let's go back a couple minutes. If you think the police officer in this particular case was profiling, they're assuming that this is the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what? You get out of the car, and that's the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you had gotten out of the car and just said, I don't agree with you, but do whatever you have to do, officer.
He's got lawyers.
Right.
He's got the UFC. Let 1,000 people take care of it. Throw money at all of it and then deal with it later. You've got that. Relax. And I get it. You got to have an edge to do what he does. But come on. This is just stupid at this point.
I mean,
your main event is coming up in 2 weeks. You haven't fought since January of last year.
Well, and
this can't be helping his concentration. He spent 3 days in jail.
Almost 3 days in jail, yeah.
3 days in jail in the middle of a camp, ostensibly, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you're not done with camp until usually the week of. And this is kind of where you fine-tune and do all these things. Guy was just in jail, had to be put in protective custody inside jail. He was isolated because, you know, everybody in jail probably wants to see if they can throw a punch at John Bones Jones.
Right, right.
And, you know, that it's just ridiculous. It's just so stupid for him to do this. And the UFC at this point is stuck. And I know we're going to talk a little more about the very strange UFC 200 card coming up in minutes. But the fact that they pulled the trigger on this, I think, means they don't have a lot of confidence in John Jones. Because I'm still convinced the reason we hadn't heard anything about 200 and the reason they didn't want the Conor McGregor Diaz thing getting out is because I'm guessing they wanted to try to turn John around. It would have been a relatively quick turnaround, but for a guy who hasn't worked in a while, he probably wants to get a couple fights in. I don't think April, May, June, July would have been terrible to get John Jones back if he had a quick win, a decisive win, and medically could go. And I don't think that would have been too crazy. And you could add John Jones, you know, basically your best fighter on the planet the past 5 years. At this point, you could have had him headlining 200. I think the fact that we've heard now about the 200 card that we'll talk about in a minute tells me that the UFC, even if John wins, they don't want to count on him for 200 at this point.
You can't. It's not that they don't want to. You cannot. Because this is, you know, whatever you want to say about it, he needs to get up and, he, you know, and maybe he lives his life in extremes and that's why the cocaine is required for partying because he can't party like a normal person and he has to be angry in order to fight. I mean, Dana White said something that being the quote-unquote nice guy drove him insane or whatever excuse you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, though, regardless of what kind of chaos you need to have in your life, there needs to be at least some sort of anchor to reality about what is important in your life. If it's not your wife, if it's not your kids, if it's fighting, you have to understand when you're 2 weeks out, maybe you don't get in the Corvette. maybe somebody in your camp tells you, look, I will drive you
around.
Does
he have a chill car that if he needed to get milk, I'm sure, can't they buy him like an $18,000 Hyundai or something used that's not going to draw kinds of attention?
Well, and I think the best advice, and I don't remember if it was Luke Thomas or whomever it was, but said, like, I get that you want to train in Albuquerque, but you got a name there now. And people are looking for this to happen.
Well, here's the thing. He has a name everywhere, but Albuquerque's a really small town to have that big a name in.
Correct. So go live somewhere else and train in Albuquerque. I mean, you haven't fought in 2 years, so it's not like you needed to be in Albuquerque because, like, you had nothing on the docket because you were suspended, because you hit a pregnant woman, because you're an absolute idiot behind the wheel. An absolute idiot behind the wheel. The fact that they haven't made an exception for the Reebok sponsorship and brought Uber in to sponsor John Jones is insane to me, because he physically might be the single worst decision maker behind the wheel of a car ever to grace the wheel of a car since Henry Ford invented them.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to look at this situation and Rampage Jackson would go, hey, man, you might want to calm down in your car.
Rampage, like, that he did, it was one and done, right? It was totally crazy when you're driving around with your face on a car.
That's the only thing John Jones hasn't done yet is get a giant Toyo truck with his face on it and then drive around crazy like Rampage. Otherwise, he's got Rampage beat on every other level.
On every.
That's your tale of the tape.
That is your tale of the tape. That, you know,
virtually identical.
In everything except for crazy decisions behind the wheel of a car. So the good news for the fans is that this fight will go on as planned. The bad news, as Ken is alluding to,
it might go on as planned. The guy's got to get through 2 more weeks.
That's true.
3 more weeks.
Okay, well, a judge has said, look, you cannot drive without permission, which good luck with that, right?
I feel like that's somebody in the UFC should have said that already.
Cannot drive without permission. He has to go to anger management, which I believe he's already done.
Yeah, but didn't he do stupid day-long rehab, wasn't that?
Well, that's all it takes. I mean, that's what I read.
It seems to work. Did you see the video?
So he's got to go back to anger rehab. He cannot drive without permission from his mother. And then he doesn't have a curfew, which allows him to continue the fight, which will happen at UFC 197 on April 23rd, which we are, like Ken said, just about 2 weeks away, a little bit over 2 weeks away. Still a long time. Plenty of vehicular insanity for John Jones to get involved in between now and
somebody then. Make sure he's got milk. Just get him all the milk and the bread in the house so he doesn't have to go anywhere.
Like, you know, either hook him up on his phone with Grubhub or maybe call Peapod and have them drop off the groceries.
I still don't know why he's driving. I don't.
I mean, there's literally no reason. What we should do is, because some of the people in his camp have said he has changed as a person and become nicer, and this last experience had changed him a little bit. This doesn't really indicate that. However, if that's true, like, maybe you go the way of the Jose Aldo origin story, right? So, John Jones, for the next 2 weeks, you are going to sleep on this mat. We will wake you up when it's time to train, and then you will go back to sleep on said mat. You are not leaving this gym. We will bring you everything that you need, but somebody's going to watch you 25 hours a day for the next 3 weeks.
You would think they would do that in his camp, too, because, I mean, he's the guy in that camp that's making the money, that's financing that camp.
Sure, because Holly walked away from
we'll talk about that in a little bit, too, and I don't honestly blame her turning down that cyborg fight at this point.
Whatever.
Did you want that fight?
I just think, look, we'll talk about it in a minute.
If Holly Holm could have made her $10 million, then they wouldn't be so reliant on John Jones. So.
Right. This is what I'm saying. So this guy's got to be on lockdown. I'm not one, and I will say this, I'm not one to think that the fighters all have to be angels.
Mm-hmm.
He does not have to be a nice guy, right? There are a lot of successful fighters in all combat sports that were terrible human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tyson comes to mind, right? Mm-hmm. He was a terrible human being. However, you do need to surround yourself, or should try and surround yourself, with people that offset the crazy a little bit, that will go get you groceries, that will go make better decisions for you because you are incapable of making them yourself. And you have the wherewithal, you have the finances in order to do that stuff. And let's remember, if he's not fighting, There's what's the next step for him, right? Because a real job wouldn't put up with all of this insanity.
Oh no, I mean, he's not the dude that's going to end up. I mean, DC is a guy where I love him on that UFC Tonight set.
Sure.
Do you think a guy like John Jones could keep it together?
No.
For a job like that, I don't know.
No, and you, I mean, you see very specifically who is a part of the UFC Tonight ecosystem. The Kenny Florians of the world, the Michael Bisbings of the world, the Daniel Cormiers of the world, right? Like guys who just kind of have their stuff together and mm-hmm. can figure out how the suit goes on and figure out when to show up for work on time and
how
not to run over pregnant women and not rev your engine at a light and not scream at a police officer when you know he's recording you because you can't delete it because it's not Twitter. All of those things, those people understand.
Mm-hmm.
John Jones does not. The good news for you as a fan, though, is probably the best fighter in the history of UFC will fight at UFC 197. In what shape and what capacity is he in? I have no idea. If anything, all of this insanity makes it more interesting to me. Because I don't think, prior to this, I did not think that DC had any chance of winning the second fight, regardless of how close you're going to tell me the first one was. This level of distraction, this time away from the cage, to the Ken Evans theory about mixed martial arts, leads me to think this just got
theory?
The theory that time away is
deal,
I've been right?
I've been saying that on the show.
I'm giving you credit.
I don't think people have given enough credit to that, though.
In MLA or APA format, whatever you would like the reference to be in.
That's fine.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, he's been away a long time. He's hyper distracted at this point, doing stupid stuff that he now has to mop up. He was in jail for 3 days. He had to go to court. I want to say, I don't know who, because I saw it 100 times yesterday, so I just want to say this. I cannot give credit where credit is due to whomever on the internet put the Reebok logo on his orange jumpsuit. You are my spirit animal this week.
There you go.
That was the funniest thing I've seen in a long, 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 long time. But he is going to fight Daniel Cormier at 197. This just got a whole lot more interesting. And to Ken's point, we are, in fact, a little bit over 2.5 weeks away. So that may not be true, but at the time of this recording, on Friday, April Fool's Day, it is still a go.
Yes. So, yeah, we're 22. So we're about 3 weeks away.
Yeah, just about.
He's got, the longer
dangerous time.
The longer you say it, the more time he's got to get in trouble.
Yes. The other two big pieces of news this week. One is that UFC 200 is Facebook official. You have Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz as your main event.
Mm-hmm. This is weird.
It's very weird.
Because
that's not the weird.
Yes, fight.
Underneath the fight is an interim belt with Jose Aldo and Frankie Edgar.
This is the first time.
Of course it is, because it's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
This is the first time in UFC history that an interim title will be fought for on a card where the champion is healthy and is actually fighting, but not for that title.
Might this be, and I'm going to put you on the spot for this, might this be the first time in combat sports?
I'm pretty sure, because there's not a lot of JUCO leagues in MMA.
Well, I'm just talking like,
is
there boxing where the guy went up to heavyweight and left his belt behind? You know, like
as
Floyd has never done that,
no,
right?
No, this is insane. This is insane. I want to be mad about it, but I'm going to watch the hell out of this card, so I can't be too mad about it.
And, yeah, I mean...
Okay, let's try to take out the fact that this just seems kind of insane, and I don't know what the hell the UFC's trying to do. I guess I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make money, because they made a lot of money last time Diaz fought McGregor. And I love, too, the fact that this artwork, I don't know if you've seen it.
It's awesome.
The artwork's awesome. They basically put some of the quotes that these guys went into the last fight and out of the last fight with, specifically with Diaz, as war paint. My other part of this art that I find very interesting is the names on the poster. Diaz is in big block letters. And again, I know there's some spacing and design issues sometimes. But you wouldn't necessarily think McGregor's going to be a third of the size of Diaz's name on the poster, which is what it is.
Yes,
I mean he's got half the poster. He's a star. We know who he is. This could have just been a design choice, but I mean, I know they got some Photoshoppers over there. They could have made the name bigger and just layered it over the guy's faces.
Yes, but so you get Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor too. Diaz has been running around saying that it's a gift from the UFC, that it's lucky that Conor gets a second chance. He is not happy that it's at 170. He would actually prefer it to be at 55. The problem with 55 in the world of MMA math, though, is if he loses again to Nate Diaz, it's impossible for him to fight RDA because he will have lost at 55.
I think if he loses to Diaz again, it's impossible for him to do anything but fight at 145 for a long time. Because there's going to be a couple of matchups that we see. You're going to get the winner of Edgar Aldo. Okay.
You mean Aldo.
Okay. You're going to get the winner of that fight. You're going to probably have to fight the loser of that fight, too, to be honest. And however that ends up going. And then you're probably going to have to fight Chad still again. Chad never got that fight again. And he was, and that's a guy that I think has really been overlooked. And I know he hasn't had the greatest performances since.
And look, you still have Max.
But he's the one that took that fight.
And you also have Max Holloway out there, right? Who, it was a decision win for Conor McGregor. But Max Holloway hasn't lost since that fight. He hasn't lost in 3 years. He's on an 8-fight win streak. And yes, he needs to fight bigger name talent like a Lamas or somebody along those lines. But once if he beats Lamas, he's right up there, too. There's plenty of work for McGregor to do at 45. It is not cleaned out by any stretch of the imagination.
No, and this is going to be an interesting dynamic, too, because let's say he wins. Then does he still get to jump around like he wants to jump around? Because you would have to think the UFC would want to let him do that because they're going to make a lot of money with him doing that. But you have a division, like you said, it's not been cleaned out. He's beaten some of the dudes. But he's also looked, you know, the Chad Mendes fight, it looked like Chad was winning that fight. And he was able to come back and do what champions do and win. But it was still very interesting to kind of look at this division. You know, you've got, not only do you have fighters that deserve shots, you've got name fighters that people know that deserve shots. So you can make money with Conor McGregor, Frankie Edgar.
Sure.
Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo 2. Conor McGregor, Chad Mendes 2. You can make money with all those fights, and you've got two names in those. Obviously, the bigger name in all those fights, I think, and some people might want to argue with me, I think is always going to be Conor. Might want to argue with Jose and Frankie simply because of their resumes, but I don't think dollars spent,
yeah,
you're always going to land on Conor.
There's a 0% chance you can convince me that Aldo or Edgar are bigger than Conor when you look at pay-per-view buys or dollars spent, because Aldo was undefeated for a decade and couldn't get anybody to pay attention to him until Conor McGregor came along.
Yeah, and I think, and Frankie Edgar, he's always been the workhorse. He's always been that guy you never want to count out. But again, you know, in this fight, it's going to be very interesting. I think that's the big money fight, even more so than Aldo 2 at this point, because I think everybody for the past 3 or 4 years has been saying, Frankie Edgar is going to be the kryptonite. It doesn't matter if he loses to certain other dudes. I don't see how he loses to Conor McGregor. And I think that's still the case if we take all of the Diaz fights out of it. We take all of the nonsense around some of these fights out of it. I think if we go down and break down these fights and we actually have a matchup with Frankie Edgar and Conor McGregor, you're going to have a tough time convincing me that Conor McGregor has ways to win that Frankie hasn't dealt with before. I'm not saying he won't win, but I'm going to find it very interesting to hear how people will tell me that Conor's going to win that particular matchup. So you've got a division there that is in a lot of flux right now. Do you think the UFC is doing the right thing with this interim belt, considering they're not letting Conor fight? I think they are. If they're not letting Conor fight, I think they're doing the right thing by creating the belt.
Okay. If X plus Y equals Z, yes.
Okay.
Do I think this is what
you just don't like this thing overall?
Well, I think it's really weird to explain to the masses that, okay, the champ is totally healthy. He just can't be bothered to fight the people in his own division. He's going to go up to the guy who beat him senseless in round two after he had been worn out because he didn't have what it took to finish the fight in round one. Right?
Do you think you have trouble explaining that?
Well, because it wasn't close. It wasn't close at all.
It wasn't close in that regard.
In what regard was it close?
He was able to land, and I don't know, again, we're going to go back, I don't know how much it was actually true, but I mean, Conor McGregor admitted after the fight, he didn't have the efficiency he needed in his punches. I don't know if Conor can figure out a way to do that, but he was able to land blows. So if he can find a quote-unquote more efficient way or land a more powerful blow in a certain spot, I mean, if you look at those fighters after that fight, and I know that's not how you judge a fight, but you wouldn't think that Conor McGregor had lost that fight when you looked at them both.
Totally, that's fine.
That's what I'm saying.
Totally fine. Let me posit this other view of the fight. You took Nate Diaz on 8 days' notice, which we'll call 4 days' notice by the time he got all of his coaches together. And essentially, he was hitting pads when he was in Vegas by the time he actually did anything to prepare for the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it only took him a round to get warmed up, and then he just took it to you. What do you think is going to happen when he has 8 full weeks to prepare for this?
Well, they've both got 8 full weeks at this point.
Sure they do. But if you're telling me that it was his efficiency of movement and that if he had just not thrown everything he had behind those punches, that there would have been a different outcome, I'm telling you, you didn't really watch that second round because Nate Diaz cracks him and wobbles him and submits him.
Okay.
And that was always the thing at 45 that people were praising is Connor's chin. When Chad Mendes is throwing it, you know, putting it on him, he's still able to stand there and take it and weather the storm and power him down and finish that fight. That is not the case when you get up to 170. I do not see, and I could be, this might be the first time that I'm going to switch camps because I've been Team Connor for a long time. But after watching that first Nate Diaz fight, I think giving Nate Diaz 8 weeks to train for you is a really, really, really bad idea.
What? Okay, but what is Nate Diaz in a fight where he was that dominant? What is he going to do different in training? What is he going to do?
Well, he could spar for one, which he didn't get to do,
okay,
right?
Like so he gets hit. So he gets hurt. That you knock you out of a fight. That injures you up. That knocks you around. I've just not seen. And again,
what are we
I
betting
know those
here?
Guys work
Let's bet. We've never
we don't
done
have to
this.
Bet.
I want to bet.
I
what
just
are we betting?
Say, I don't see anybody in that camp really changing what they do for anybody else. There's that ego and that
confidence
level
there. So how do you think
that
the outcome's going to change if nobody changes anything?
Right, but what you say is like you give him 8 weeks. That's what we say when a guy loses, not when he wins. What's he going to do different? He doesn't do it in round one.
That's going to be different.
You think?
Yes.
He's always been a slow starter. I'm not saying he's not going to win. I just being that dismissive.
Go back and watch that fight, man.
Fight's a fight.
A fight is a fight, unless it's this fight. This is a bad idea. And this is what I was talking about a week and a half ago, that if this happens and he loses twice to Nate Diaz, like a lot of that marketing shine just wipes away. He gets way less special.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Way less special.
It's going to be definitely interesting to see what plays out if he loses this
way
fight.
Less special, and he falls right into, and I know we're spending a lot of time talking about you today, and it's not intentional, but way less special, and he falls right into the Ken Evans trap. And that Ken Evans trap is dudes under 55 aren't really that interesting because they can't compete higher up. And he's going to prove
I've never said that.
But you've said the reason Demetrius Johnson isn't selling a million pay-per-view buys is because nobody cares.
Well, he hops around a lot.
This is what I'm talking about.
But Connor doesn't hop around, so he's interesting. But here's what you can do, which I think could be more detrimental, is you could have a guy like Conor McGregor lose a fight against Nate Diaz. And then at that point, he's lost to him twice. And then he has to go defend his belt. I'm not picking against him at all in any of those fights off the bat. You know, again, I said Frankie Edgar, you're going to have to convince me, but I'm not going to be surprised if Conor McGregor beats him.
Sure.
So your worst case scenario could be Conor is coming off 2 losses, goes back to the division, then cleans out that division, and you've knocked the shine off everybody because, yeah, but he lost twice to Nate, and if Nate wants to go to 155, he would toast him. I mean, that's what you're going to look at.
Yep.
So you've got all these – you've got a lot of marketable fights at 45 right now that become – probably less marketable if he loses again, and depending on how he loses the fight and how he wins other fights, you could start knocking shine off a whole division at this point. You think 55 was bland? Wait until like Conor McGregor beats 3 or 4 guys and we don't know what to do with him next. Now, he's never going to be a bland dude like RDA was for a while, and that's not taking anything away from Rafael Dos Anjos as a fighter. It's just kind of how that division's kind of laid out for a little bit, but it's going to be real interesting to see where everything goes. I mean, we talked about it with John Jones and hearing about 200 this week. Everything in the UFC is kind of laid out like dominoes. And it's going to be interesting to see how and where those fall after 200. Because if you're the guys in the undercard, you are rooting for Conor McGregor at this point. You want him to win that fight and then come fight you for his belt.
Yes, except for if he wins that fight, you don't think that there's a trilogy?
With Diaz?
Yes.
I don't know. But there's another belt, so everybody's got belts, so that's good.
All right, the rest of the card breaks down like this. Top of the card is Nate and Connor. Co-main event, weirdest thing ever. Aldo and Edgar for the title.
I don't even know who to pick in that fight.
I don't either, just because Frankie did not do so well against Aldo the first time.
Well, you said Aldo earlier.
I just think Frankie didn't do so well.
But did Connor knock
that? Yes. However, when you get knocked out like that, what does that look like when you come back?
I don't know.
Right, because
Where's Frankie, the confidence right there?
Because Frankie, when he loses, he comes back and he just destroys people.
Right. Like he'll lose like three times in a row and then win like six times in a row.
Right, because he'll just straight murder people because that's just how his brain works.
Yeah, Cubs Swanson's still looking for his head.
Right. Travis Brown and Cain Velasquez, knock on wood, that happens and Cain doesn't hurt himself.
Oh, that's interesting.
If it happens.
Still happening?
I mean, right this very second, again, as we're recording this is still happening. But Cain is a China doll, and if he might trip over something and hurt himself. Mm-hmm. So the undercard, though, is pretty much set. So you only have three on the main card. There could be two to three more bouts that end up on that card. And I know that there's been some rumored women's matches.
You don't think they put Gegard on the main card?
Not at this point, no. So you got Derek Brunson and Gegard Mousasi.
Gastelum, Hendricks. Being there, I think they put that on the main card.
Gastelum and Hendricks is awesome. Gomi and Jim Miller will be awesome. Super Sage Northcutt will be fighting Enrique Marin. And it's great for
you. Said what you blew kind of by Diego and Lozon. That's
Is that on the main card though?
No. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not.
I don't. Where that could be anywhere in the building. Those guys are just going to want to scrap, which is very interesting.
Who do you have in that fight?
I have no idea. Blood.
Right.
Blood.
I love Lozon, but he has just not looked the same for a long.
Well, neither has Diego. This has kind of worked out. I mean, those dudes aren't the same dudes they were a couple years ago, either of them. So this just kind of works out to be like the finale on the prelims, and they just go out there and they just make it really awkward for anybody who didn't watch earlier, wondering why all that blood is
in the cage. Wondering why it's all
what
crazy.
What happened in the prelims?
Right.
Murder
so,
a hog?
That is what's going to happen on July 9th in Las Vegas. Next week you get Ben Rothwell and JDS as your main event. So you got that coming up, but you get WrestleMania this weekend if you want to check that out. And as Ken can walk through the ways in which you can sign up for the WWE Network to watch
it's
WrestleMania.
$9.99.
Unless you've never signed up.
No, don't sign up because the damn thing keeps glitching on me every year at WrestleMania. If anybody at MLB Network is listening, by the way, the MLB streaming services, they're the ones that handle this. Get it together. Get it together.
And what I would say to you is if you have never signed up for the WWE Network, it'll be free for you. So,
right.
Which is really what's going to screw up your streaming on Sunday.
That's fine. I'll watch it Monday morning.
The other huge news in the world of MMA is that Cyborg will fight in the UFC.
That's right. I thought you were going to talk about Gus's retirement this morning.
Nah, I'm not, because I hate April Fool so much.
I don't know what he was trying to do. Was something lost in translation? He's from your homeland. Could you figure it out for us?
I knew this was coming, that you thought just because I'm Swedish that I understand.
Well, I don't know.
Like
Swedish
Swede
humor.
Yes. I'm not from Sweden, though.
Like, was your dad? Did your dad ever retire?
No, my dad retired and then stayed retired.
Did your dad?
He's still on the chair. He's still there right now. He never moved.
Did your dad ever retire and then make fun of the interim titles?
No,
because as dumb and as bad as you hate April Fools, that was a funny line.
Yeah, but it's like it's a lot of work for a line.
Well, see,
lot of work, especially when you look at what you posted this morning and everyone starts to get actually bummed out. Like, this is the part about April Fools I don't understand. Why do you actually want to make people who care about you sad only to go, just kidding, sad?
No, here's the thing that I think is really interesting, and maybe he's just self-aware and it's just high-level humor beyond what most people are comprehending here. He might be self-aware enough to know that he's coming off two losses and he didn't look great in those fights. So when he says, I know it was a split decision against DC, but when he says things like, I didn't have the best year, you don't know if that dude was actually injured. He might be depressed. He almost won a title. He almost beat DC. It was a split decision. So he might be self-aware enough to like, hey, you know what? I have kind of had a crappy year, so people might believe I'm retiring. If so, bravo. Bravo, Alexander Gustafsson.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
All right.
Okay, back to the actual news that
Gustafsson
I was
talking about. Gustafsson Cyborg.
Yes.
Is the fight.
Yes, that's it. UFC 198, Cyborg is going to fight Jessica Smith. Yes, right?
I don't know. Somebody. They're sacrificing somebody. I don't know who it is at this point. Now, here's the big question. What's she fighting at?
You know,
because she wants to call out all these female fighters. And
you know, the Leslie Smith. That's who she's fighting.
Leslie Smith.
And if you remember, Leslie Smith is the one who had her ear exploded in that last. Like she's gonna.
Ear exploded.
Cyborg's gonna have to kill her. This is actually a great fight for to see where.
Oh, it's at a catchweight.
Yes, she's at 140.
140.
She's not there yet. Now this is where it gets really interesting, is because you know she could become like the person who literally ruins, like, for all the jokes I was making this week about Nate Diaz ruining all the plans, because you see the plans fleshing out this week that it was, if McGregor beat Nate Diaz, it was pretty certain it was going to be GSP and McGregor at UFC 200. Like, you're seeing all these things, and Nate ruined it, right? Cyborg could be another person in the ecosystem that ruins it for everybody, because I'm not sure she can actually get down to 35. And if she just sat at 40 and just ruined people's streaks or derailed them a little bit.
Yeah, but here's where you and I are going to disagree a little bit, because you think that Holly Holm should have taken that fight.
I do.
I think that's insane to go to somebody else's weight just because you come off a championship loss. I think what's different between these fighters and Conor McGregor is he wants to go up and down. He's been talking a lot. What they have here, and he's got a lot of fallback spots. The women don't have fallback spots. They have their division, which is essentially 35. And I know they're trying to make 25 a thing, so cool. But if you're what?
So good for you, ladies.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'll watch that Demetrius Johnson fight. So,
oh God, you're the most sexist human being.
I'm not sexist.
Yes, you totally are.
I'm actually calling for equality, thinking the women should be fighting the men. Calm down over there.
Ugh.
You're the one that wants to, you know, split them up by the genders.
Okay, here we
fine.
Go. Just stop.
So what I'm saying is these women are all fighting for a championship. That championship's at 135. So if it's Misha, if it's Ronda, if it's Holly Holm, if it's anybody in the top five, why would they go out of their weight division to go fight Cyborg? Now, maybe you can start making cases outside of those women. None of those three women should get near Cyborg unless Cyborg wants to come to 35.
I understand what you're saying. So what happened earlier this week is that on The Fighter and the Kid, Kenny Florian was filling in for Brian Callen because Brian is on vacation. And at one point, they're talking about Cyborg, and Kenny lets it slip that one of the three women that Shab was talking about turned down the fight to fight Cyborg in her debut at 198. Those three women were Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, and Holly Holm, right?
Yes.
You and I both know that Misha Tate has a date with Holly Holm. They're going to date with Ronda Rousey first. Holm is not going to get a rematch. It's going to be Ronda because they want to put the strap back on Ronda. So Holly Holm is without a dance partner. And to me, if you're this is why
Holly's admitted it. We don't have to even put two and two together.
No, we're not. I'm not. Holly has admitted it. This is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this is how the story rolls out and why Holly admits it. Right. What I'm saying is, when you come out and say that you want to fight because that's what you came here to do and you want to do this thing, to me, if you were to go up to 140 and actually beat Cyborg in her debut, that's a much better case to...
I think you're forgetting one thing. I
think how awesome that would be?
You're forgetting nobody knows who the hell Cyborg is.
Yeah.
She has not fought in the UFC. All these other women have. You're forgetting. There's a little bit of bias there. This is the big leagues. This is where the fighters fight, and Cyborg's never fought in the UFC. So she goes up to 140, beats Cyborg. Okay, good for you. You're going to go get that belt back? That's what I think the consensus feeling would be, even though we know that's a huge win.
You're making my point.
Right,
is that
okay. Those are your two options. That's option A. That happens.
Yes.
The other option, who'd you lose? You lost to somebody who's never fought in the UFC? Maybe Ronda should get that rematch. Why would you take that fight? Doesn't put you anywhere.
Because Ronda already has the rematch. That's
Ronda
why.
Ronda doesn't have. No. I know that's what they keep saying. She has pushed over and over again that she should have the Tate rematch. And the fact that Ronda's not really said much after that little cute text she sent out after Misha Tate won doesn't bode well. So the fact is Misha Tate doesn't have a fight. Holly Holm doesn't have a fight. Booked. I know what they want to do. But as long as the champ doesn't have a fight booked and you were the champ and, you know, you got beat, but you're probably still deserving of that rematch, I think you work for that rematch.
So you're of the mindset that you should be Anthony Rumble Johnson from this week, right? Because Rumble's team was getting him ready in case Jones was not going to be able to compete, right?
So you think
she should just kind of be ready to go in case Ronda flakes out again or whatever.
I say yes because of it being Ronda Rousey. If this were somebody else and we had another fight booked, I don't know who it'd be. Who won that undercard fight? I forgot.
Amanda Nunes, right?
Okay. If they're booking Nunes Tate for July or August, okay. That changes the entire dynamic.
Because she's going to make that fight and she's not
going to. That fight's probably going to happen.
Right.
There's no movies.
Right.
There's no WrestleManias. There's nothing that's going to get in the way.
Is Ronda in WrestleMania this weekend?
She's not like booked for it, but she, you know, she might show up.
Right.
Or she might not. I don't know. That's my interest level with her at this point. If it's anybody but Ronda Rousey booked for that fight, allegedly booked is what I'm going to say, then yeah, you go in there and you start looking at your options. I don't know if that would change my opinion 100% on this Cyborg fight. I guess really I'm just one of those guys, and I respect her as a fighter, but I really have a bad taste in my mouth with all the talking she's done, and she still hasn't come down to the weight of any of the women she's talking about. There's no reason that people would go up to her. You don't see this from any fighters in any other division, essentially. The only guy who even came close with RDA, who got goaded into it by Conor McGregor, is calling out, who calls out lighter fighters? It's not a good look.
Sure.
And it's definitely not a good look when you're a woman and you got busted for steroids and you sort of look like a dude and you go in there and you start demolishing women. It's a bad look to start calling out lighter women, which is essentially what she's done for the past 4 or 5 years. And I, you know, maybe that's me just not liking that part of it. So I've just got a little bit of bias going there. But I just think in this regard, if you're going to call these fighters out, you have to get to their weight. You don't have a belt. Yes, you're a former champion,
but I don't think she can. I don't think she can.
Which is fine, but guess what? That doesn't mean I have to like the fact.
No, you don't have to like it, but what I'm saying to you is they brought her on for some reason, and they probably, if I'm right.
Well, because she wouldn't shut up about wanting to get to 35 for Ronda.
I know.
And now that Ronda lost the belt, everybody in the division has got to come up to her? That's stupid.
Hang on a second. What I'm saying is they brought her on for a reason. And if I'm right, they already know that I'm right. Meaning, they might likely know that she can't get down to 35. So what are we starting at 45? What are we going to do here? Like, are we going to test out how she does at 40 against Leslie Smith?
Well, I think what they'll do is they'll just see what she looks like and put her on cards when they can. And, you know, she's been under a Zuffa contract for a while. They can put her on Invicta or whatever they want her. I mean,
but she's not 12. Like, there's some, you know, time's a ticking.
Time's a ticking, but I mean, if she doesn't make the weight, you can't put her in a championship fight. That's your championship level. Are you going to knock it up to 140 for her?
You have too many rules.
I just don't know. Women's fighting without Ronda Rousey needs a belt.
I don't disagree.
If it's going to even come close to headlining a card, it needs a belt. So this isn't even one of those where you could work outside of that. Like, maybe you could do Ronda at 140, and Ronda could carry it without a belt and fight Cyborg. I think that would work. Holly Holm going on an undercard for a fight that's happening in a couple weeks?
Sure.
No.
If one last question on this and we'll move on. If Ronda loses to Tate, is that the fight? Is it Cyborg?
I think you still make that fight. Yeah, why not? I mean, then Ronda doesn't have as much wiggle room. What's she going to do? But I'm tired of talking about Ronda Rousey until she decides what she wants to do, because she's not booked for anything.
I'm with
you. And she's not said anything either, which after her mental state of the fight, she lost, I think speaks volumes. She hasn't once said, look, I have things to do, but I will be back for my belt in November.
In November,
or
in New York, or whatever. Yeah,
whatever
right.
You're going to say, you say that because you're not booked that far out. I don't know. Like, yeah, I get it. She was busy last month. They were painting a bathing suit on her ass. Like, this month she's got to shoot a movie. You know, next month she's going to do SNL or whatever she does. I get it, but there's been nothing from her that says, I'm coming back to get that belt. There was a cute little text where she said she's getting back to work after she sees the person that beat her ass lose.
Right.
Which I don't care about. I don't care about that little text. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she'll be back in a couple months, prove me wrong. But until she says something, it's very frustrating to keep talking about these fights when you see an opportunity for Miesha Tate and Holly Holm to kind of break out. And they keep getting pigeonholed back in. This is what's interesting, too, because I'm usually for the money fight. You know that. But I think the money fights get bigger money if you let these two kind of fight it out and figure out who's actually the champ. Can Holly Holm come back and win? Can they have a trilogy? Can they make both of their stars bigger before they either fight Cyborg or Ronda again?
Sure.
I think they can. I think there's an opportunity right there. You know, if you pay attention to Miesha Tate, you follow her on social, you pay attention to what she's doing and how she reacts with the crowd at these pressers and how she's been doing since she won the belt, she's been doing a great job. She's getting great reactions from the crowd. I think, you know, I don't want to say star in the making because I think she's already a star, but she could be a superstar in the making. Is she going to be doing movies like Ronda? No, but she could be a very, very high-level UFC superstar. But I don't think that they're getting this opportunity if they just keep going, well, what's Ronda going to do first? What do we got to do with Ronda first? Let's figure that out when Ronda decides she wants to figure it out. And until then, do what we would normally do in these divisions, which is set up good fights for the championship belt that people would be interested in. And right now, that fight is Holly Holm, Miesha Tate again.
We'll see what happens. Okay, one last piece of news before we leave. And I say this tentatively only because it's not that, if it were wrong, it's not that crazy of a story to be an April Fool's joke. However, it is April 1st, so.
Well, lazy internet articles is the new hallmark.
This one
of
isn't
April
super.
Fool's
this
Day.
Was this one isn't super lazy and seems to make a lot of sense. But I just want to put it out there.
But by lazy, I mean you just create something.
Yeah. So I'm putting it out there, going like, look, if this isn't a thing, know that it looked pretty legit because it's on Bleacher Report. But Bleacher Report is reporting right now that Bellator has confirmed they are starting a featherweight championship, 125 division, that will be headlined on May 20th by Marlos Conan and Julia Budd. So they are starting another women's division to mirror what...
Did they already have a women's division?
They have 135. Now they have 125. So they're mirroring the UFC. Now, like I said, it's not interesting enough to be an April Fool's joke, but I just want to throw it out there in case it actually is and you're listening to this.
Well,
what
makes that most interesting is you start to see these options that would pop up. If Miesha Tate definitely said, you know what, screw this. There's more women fighting over in Bellator now. There might be more options. That's not necessarily her weight class. I get
sure.
that. But when you see somebody like Cyborg or somebody else that wants to move.
Well, and so and gets, the reason
the women can get a ton of sponsorship dollars, too. And I know Benson Henderson has talked about this before, about the sponsorship differences between the two, obviously. Women feel that very, very distinctly in the UFC because essentially a lot of women fighters garner interest just because they're women fighters, and they can garner a lot of sponsorship sometimes. And that's basically been taken away entirely in the UFC at this point.
Well, and I bring this up to kind of echo your point, right, is if Bellator is launching another division and that division isn't 45, it's 25, then women's MMA has its lane right now, right? It's mm-hmm. 35 and 25, and these two companies have invested in those two divisions because that's where they're going to build champions. So maybe to your point, she absolutely has to figure out how to get down. My only counterpoint to that is they're letting her fight at a catch weight, which to me seems weird since Tito Ortiz was talking about how she could make it down to 35 2.5 years ago. It would seem that she had done it already. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she hasn't leads me to believe that this might be a thing that she has to sit at for a minute and look for other people like Leslie Smith that want to fight her at a catch weight until she can either come down or prove that she can come down and fight one of the three ladies that we've just been talking about.
That's fine. As long as she cuts weight, I don't care.
Okay.
Then we can talk about it.
All right.
I'm sorry.
All right. Have a great weekend. Enjoy WrestleMania if you're going to watch it. You can follow along with us on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.